Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why the song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part one of Led by the Lord. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
When it says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, he was probably 137 or maybe close to 140 years old. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and he swore to him concerning this matter. So Abraham evidently believes that he doesn't have much time left. And so he's wanting to make sure that Isaac is secured for in the future. And he's wanting, as he stated here, to make sure that he doesn't marry into any of the tribes of the Canaanites. So he's sending his servant back. I think it's interesting, though, that Abraham says that by no means is Isaac to go back to where I came from. The promises, of course, that God had given to Abraham had to do with that piece of land, the land that we know today as the land of Israel. And so Isaac was not to go back to Mesopotamia. He was not to go back under any circumstances. He was to remain in the land that God had promised. And so as we carry on in the story, this is a fascinating story. This is actually the longest chapter in Genesis. It's quite a long chapter, but it's a fascinating account of how Abraham's servant goes and secures a bride for Isaac. So I'm just going to be reading through it and then making some application as we go. So picking up in verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So here's the servant. He's taken this long journey of approximately 500 miles back to Mesopotamia. And there he arrives at the city of Nahor and at this well. And, you know, what an amazing request. He's asking God for some pretty specific things here. You know, he doesn't even really know who he's looking for. He doesn't have a photograph or anything to go by. So he's just, there he is. And he's just dependent on the Lord. And so he prays and he asks for these very specific things. And listen to what happens. And it happened, verse 15, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all the camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So he hasn't even finished his prayer, that very specific prayer. And now Rebekah comes and she's doing exactly what he just prayed for. Seems like it's a little too good to be true. He's sort of wondering, could this really be happening? Verse 22, so it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. So realizing now that this is indeed a specific answer to his request. Now, let's read just a bit further and then come back and look at something. So the young woman ran, told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and whatever to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from the pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the one whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well, drew the water, and I said, please give me a drink. And she made haste, let her pitcher down from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put a nose ring on her nose and bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Here's the thing. We all want to be led by the Lord. And I'm sure that many of you have had experiences where you're looking to discover God's will. And we're often baffled about just how exactly to do that. And I don't think that there's any one particular way that things always happen or unfold before us to reveal to us the will of God. I think there are probably a lot of different ways, but what I want to say is what we're reading about here is one of the ways that things do happen. Now, there's something very supernatural happening here. Of course, the servant is being sent by Abraham. Abraham is sensing, obviously, that God is leading him to do this. But as he goes, I want you to notice his total dependency on the Lord and his deep conviction that God is going to direct him, that God is going to show him the right woman for Isaac. He has this deep conviction. And I believe that we, too, can have a deep conviction and a total expectation that when we are seeking God for his will, for direction, for his plan to be unfolded for our lives, we can have confidence that he's going to reveal that to us. And sometimes he will reveal it to us in evidently supernatural kinds of ways. This is a supernatural thing that we're reading about here. God is orchestrating these events. And right down to the very specific thing that the servant is asking for, God is granting it right down to the smallest detail. Now, there's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. I'm emphasizing this because in a lot of circles today within the church, there is sort of a negative attitude toward seeking direction from God and expecting him to supernaturally guide and direct our lives. There are actually Bible teachers and commentators that would criticize or greatly discourage any kind of an approach like this to discovering the will of God. And what I think they've done, unfortunately, is they've taken the supernatural element out of our relationship with the Lord. So in looking for guidance, in looking for his will, they would themselves and also encourage others to just, you know, more or less go with common sense. Go with what looks good to you, kind of a thing. You know, if you can figure it out and it looks like it's the right thing, then go with that. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to exercise common sense. We certainly do. But thank God we're not just limited to common sense. And we're not just limited to what we can figure out. We're not just limited to assessing a situation and, you know, in our mind sort of being able to figure out, well, it looks like this might happen if I do this. And then if I, you know, thank God we're not limited to that. And that's what I am concerned about. That we don't miss out on this very real supernatural element in the leading of the Lord. Remember, we are told in the New Testament, I love this verse in Romans 15, verse 4. It says, the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And this story, as well as many others, obviously, all of the others, this story is written to teach us something. And among other things, it's written to teach us that we can have expectation from God to guide and to lead us in a supernatural way. And I love this story simply because of that. It's so awesome, really, to just think that, you know, you can be praying for something like this, and even as you're praying, the Lord is answering it as you're praying. And I was thinking today about the many different experiences that I've had, that Cheryl and I have had as a married couple in ministry, just the many different things where the Lord has spoken to us in these kinds of ways and led us in ways that were just so, in some senses, they were so weird, but weird in a good sense. They were weird in the sense that you just knew, you know, that's the Lord. There, you can't humanly explain that. You couldn't put that together. If you sat down and tried to plan it out, you couldn't plan it out that way. And I want to emphasize this because I think that a lot of people get ripped off from the leading of the Lord because they get into that other mentality where you're just sort of left up to your own thinking process. And in the end, you're doing the very opposite thing of what the Bible says to do, because doesn't the scripture say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding? I think a lot of times people are leaning to their own understanding. And in doing so, what they end up doing is limiting what God potentially would like to do, because it's confined in their understanding to just what they can see or what they can figure out. But there are so many things that we could point to and talk about where, as you look at it, you just have to step back and say, you know, it's the Lord is the explanation for this. There isn't really any way to describe it other than that. We have an amazing opportunity. I won't go into too much detail, but we just have a tremendous door that's open to us as a ministry in ministering to the U.S. military. But as I'm there and as I'm observing what's going on and as I'm listening to the guys that are involved in this ministry and I'm listening to the stories and I'm observing the incredible favor, you know, I'm just thinking, this is amazing, because only the Lord could set this up. Only the Lord could open these kinds of doors. And there isn't really a human explanation for it. The guys that are involved in it, they don't have the credentials, if you will, you know, from a military standpoint or whatever, to be able to have the kind of access and opportunities that they're having. But as I looked at it, I just thought, you know, this is astounding. This is just the Lord. And there are things in our lives that as we're just trusting God and as there's that simple reliance on Him, we're going to find that He's going to be going before us. And this, which is, of course, miraculous, it's supernatural, this is the kind of thing that we can expect to have happen in our lives. Not necessarily all the time. Like I said, I don't think God only leads us in one way. I think He leads us in a variety of different ways. But I certainly believe that He leads us like this. Just with the supernatural thing where we're just, you know, being sort of led by the Spirit. We don't know exactly where we're going. We don't know exactly what we're doing. But, you know, we just sort of sense that, okay, I just think I'm supposed to do this. I think I maybe should do that. And then as time passes, you realize suddenly it all becomes clear. You're right smack in the center of some great blessing that God had in store, some exciting thing that He wanted to do. I think we need to be like this servant, a little more God-reliant and a little less man-reliant. We just have a tendency to lean on man. And then as I said a few moments ago, it doesn't help when you've got biblical instruction or people who are teaching that, well, you know, you can't expect any supernatural kind of activity. There are actually some guys who are, they're good men and they're good evangelical Christians, but they would tell you things like, you know, you can't expect God to speak to your heart and lead you that way. Unless you can find a chapter and verse for it, then God's not guiding. So they would limit the guidance of God to, you know, particular chapters and verses. And they would really discourage anybody, you know, being sort of led by the Spirit in the sense that you feel prompted to go in a certain direction or something. They'd say, oh, no, don't do that. You know, that can lead to big trouble. Well, it could lead to trouble. I would agree with that. If you're not allowing the Scriptures to be the guide for that. But I would disagree that God cannot lead us that way. I think that God does lead us that way. When I was a young Christian, we had a little prayer meeting at my apartment. And one night as we were praying, the guy who was kind of a little bit older in the Lord than the rest of us and kind of discipling us a little bit, one night he laid hands on me and he said, Lord, I just pray that you would get Brian fired from his job and get him into full-time ministry. And you know, I didn't really appreciate that prayer. I'd had a fine job. I didn't know anything about ministry. But that's what he prayed. And you know, honestly, I just kind of chuckled and I thought, that is impossible. That would never happen. I am not exaggerating. I went to work the next morning and my boss came up to me and he said, Brian, I need to talk to you. He said, I've got some bad news. I said, well, what? I've got to let you go. He said, what? What do you mean you got to let me go? I'm your friend and I work hard. And he said, I know, but we've got to scale back. And basically I can just keep one guy on and you're the low guy on the totem pole. So you're my friend. I like you, but adios. You know, this is it. And you know, I had become a Christian while I was working for him. So he saw a lot of changes in my life, but I never really got the opportunity to speak to him about the Lord like I wanted to. So as he tells me this, and I kind of perked up and he says, well, what's going on? You know, you suddenly had a change of countenance here. And I said, well, you know, actually, this is great because, you know, I prayed that I would have an opportunity to talk to you about the Lord. So let me tell you what happened last night. So I told him the story about the guy laying hands on me, praying I'd get fired. You know, and I said, hey, and look, it all just happened right here. So I'm telling you, there is a God. And He just used you even though you didn't believe in Him. So, you know, we need to realize this. The Lord leads us in these ways. He directs us. And again, this isn't the only way God leads us. And we do have to be wise and we do have to be sensitive and we do have to be always checking, you know, the Word is our anchor and we've got to be always going back to Scripture. Obviously, God's not going to call us to go do something that's going to dishonor Him or something like that. But we can have confidence and expectation that the Lord will lead us in this way.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Led by the Lord. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Led by the Lord. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0038. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.